you know, the importance of racism and all of that. And so that topic I mentioned, that topic is a topic that many youth and stodgy old folks are also speaking about. And I sent to Saranga Thakur several of those events, seminars, today and tomorrow, some specifically for the youth, some specifically for anybody, and some specifically for there. It's largely, as far as I know, it's largely African-American person speaking. So if you're interested, when Saranga Thakur forwards those, maybe he's done so already, take the opportunity to understand how thoughtful, mature devotees are addressing that concern. It will help you get a perspective, and it'll help you being able to understand better and speak on the topic when you're asked to speak on the topic, at least, you know, from taking into view the perspective of mature African American devotees in our Hare Krishna movement. Doesn't stop there. But that's one point. Then another, you're supposed to give us a little report. Did you do your homework?
Yes, Maharaj.
So briefly, yesterday and the day before yesterday, there was some discussion in class about those who are devotees may achieve special benediction from Krishna, but how is it that demoniac persons like Shishupal and some others achieve liberation? And the effect of fear and hatred has a special effect of bringing the mind to concentrate upon the personality of Godhead. So we're going to get a little mini, not at all extensive, because we have a lot to cover.
Right.
So just a little, it's a homework report on some points from Canto 7, Chapter 1.
And actually, I really focused mainly on text number 27.
Okay.
Because that's what we had a discussion about.
Okay. Good. Your voice is strong, because we have people online that would like to hear your strong voice. So speak strong.
Okay.
Good.
So in the text 27, Narad Muni talks about how you might have more intensity in a demoniac nature than if you did some other devotional services. And going in a little bit of reverse, in a later part of the chapter, this is what I understood what Srila Prabhupada was saying in his purports and in the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not my realization, not that at level. But in those Sisupal and all those demoniac avatars, they were in a special situation. They were cursed, they were Jaya and Vijaya. If we read the purport, Srila Prabhupada in 27 and in 28, and also Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, all of them are saying that we need to worship Krishna in anukulya way. Anukulyana silanam bhakti uttama. So we need to worship Krishna
favorably.
Favorably and not unfavorably. Why? Because if we worship Krishna unfavorably, he has said in the Bhagavad Gita, he casts them, whoever is envious and mischievous, Krishna says he casts them perpetually into the hellish planet, hellish condition. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada say that we need to worship Supreme Personality of Godhead favorably. Another reason for that is also the rasas, whatever the different bhav we have or the love that we create for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, That comes only by doing the favorable service. Those bhavas don't come by worshipping in a demoniac way.
Very good. Very good. So if you have any questions, you can ask him. And now, for those of you that are remote, attending the morning class, this Saturday and Sunday is a best we can do attempt to help replace the Japa retreat that we normally have here in Houston, but because of the pandemic situation, we're doing this way, and this way is a couple of classes in the morning, a couple of classes in the evening, and then again tomorrow, same theme, and the theme is Sangha Thakur, the theme is strengthening sadhana, taking shelter of the holy name specifically. So for those of you remote, that's what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. Part of the intention, at least I heard from some of the members here in the community, it's the pandemic situation, the lockdown situation has some sadhana advantages because there's less commute to go to work because people aren't going to work. They're working from home. And so it gives some flexibility of time, etc. But then there's isolation because of the circumstance, or at least, you know, stay at home order and all that stuff. So strengthening sadhana is a good topic for the situation that we're in, and taking shelter of the holy name. So the topic that I chose to speak on this morning and this evening, and then again on Sunday for the Sunday, I guess we'll call it feast, Sunday program lecture, it has to do with Lord Chaitanya's teachings on this topic. And Sunday morning is Bhakti Siddhanta's teachings about Lord Chaitanya's teachings on this topic. That's tomorrow morning. So we're going to begin with Shikshastika 1, which has glories of the object that we're focusing on. That's the name. There's glories to the name. Many of you in the listening audience know the Sanatan Goswami and his touchstone story. Because of time, I'll say it quickly. In Vrindavan, during the time of Sanatan Goswami, there was one Brahmin who was quite poor. And he was in anxiety that I don't have sufficient means to take care of my family and my daughter's marriage and this and that. So what to do. And then he had this inspiration. He knows that Sanatan Goswami is very charitable. And he knows that Sanatan Goswami has a touchstone which turns base metal into gold. So why not give it a try? I'll go ask Sanatan Goswami for charity because he's charitable. And I'll ask him for his touchstone, then problem solved. So he went and Sanatan Goswami said, sure. You'll find it over there in the rubbish heap. So sure enough, there was the touchstone. He went back to his home. He tried it out. He had an iron pot, touched it to the iron pot, turned into gold. Then with other metal items, and they turned into gold, and his problem was solved, looked like. But he's a Brahmin, so he had intelligence enough to understand. He had this in his trash, that means he must have something more valuable. Otherwise, why would he leave it in the trash? So he went back to Sanatan and said, do you have something more valuable? Is that why you left it in the trash? And he said, sure. Far more valuable. Can I ask for that too? You're very charitable. You're very kind. It really helped me a lot with my poverty. But something more valuable? He said, sure. On one condition. Take the touchstone, go to the Jamuna River and throw it in the river. Symbolic meaning, you can't go back and get it once it's in the river. That's it, it's gone. So the Brahmin looked at his touchstone and looked at Sanatana Goswami and looked at his touchstone and looked at Sanatana Goswami. He trusted him. He was trustworthy. And so he accepted there is something more valuable. So he threw it in the river. And what was that something more valuable? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So what we value is where your attention will go. And we all know that chanting has its tendency to be distracted because there are things that we consider more valuable.
It's working now. So
this is that's why your attention goes over here and over there. Conditioning. But, you know, it has to do with the material conception of life and specifically the material conception of the name. Because our acharyas say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, others also, there are the spiritual things in this world are the jiva and the name and the Vedas, particularly Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the Holy Dham, but how to access the Holy Dham. So when one sees those things that are spiritual to be material, we don't value them as much as we actually understand that they're spiritual and the effect. So that's this first Shikshastika verse. What are the virtues or wonders or excellences of the Holy Name? And one more thing before we begin. I haven't read the whole text, but Rabindra Swarup Prabhu has not only read the whole text of Bhajana Rahasya, but he's following it in the footsteps of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he explains that these eight verses are instructions how to achieve the highest stage of Braja praying through chanting of the name. Starts with and ends with chanting of the name. And it's a roadmap how to get there. So very important. So let's take the first step. Understanding the value of the holy name is the first step. And there's the sequence in these, and we'll just be covering three of them this morning, and then the other four this evening. Maybe we'll only get to do two. So hopefully you can see, it's a little small letters, but let's chant together. Cheto dharpana marjanam bhava mahadabhagni nirvanam shreya kairava chandrika vidharanam vidyavado jivanam anandam bodhivardhanam pratipadam purnamritas vadam sarvatma snapanam ram jayate shri krishna sankirtanam. Translation: glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana, which cleanses the heart of the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So now we're going to cover the first of these seven wonders or glories, Chaitadarpana Marjanam. Now Prabhupada has chosen to translate this word Chaita is of the heart, sometimes of the mind, but of the heart, of the mind. Darpana means mirror, and Marjana means cleansing, like in our Mangalarti song, Mandira Marjanado. Marjana means cleansing. Darpana means mirror, and Chaita means of the heart. Chaita Darpana Marjana. So, making the temple clean so that Lord Jagannath will be encouraged to go there. Similarly, if we make the heart clean, it makes Krishna more encouraged to come. Of course, he's already there, but to come in this case means to display himself within our heart. Commonly Prabhupada would say like this, that for someone who is in mode of goodness consciousness, it's very inviting to stay in a place that's clean, and it's not very inviting to stay in a place that's unclean. So if you make the heart clean, it invites Krishna to come and stay. Although he's already there, stay means to perceive his presence always. It encourages him to do that by making the heart clean. Another detail I like is the nature of a brahmana is before they begin their work, before sitting down to do work, or before cooking in the kitchen or before whatever service, the first thing, make the place clean. And as one works, keep the place clean. And when you're done, it's cleaned again. That's Prabhupada's teaching. No, that's a brahmana. And not all persons who do cooking follow that principle, but it's a brahminical principle, cleanliness. So this is where it begins, making the heart clean, Chaita Darpana Marjanam. And one very nice way of paraphrasing this message, the chanting of Krishna's name is a purifying agent that cleanses our heart of envy, the root cause of our descent to this world and other bad qualities that we have since acquired like lust, greed, anger. In the long purport of Bhaktisiddhanta, it's commenting that on the verse that explained Lord Chaitanya gathered himself a pile of dust and straw and grains of sand greater than all the rest of the devotees combined. And then he details the dust signifies, the straw signifies, the grains of sand signify. And that's like these lust, greed, and anger, the contaminations of heart. How do we get rid of contaminations of heart? You can make the outside clean, that's good. How do you make the inside clean? And that's the effect of chanting when it's done properly. Done properly. But it's a cleansing agent that works even if we don't do properly. And the root cause of our descent in this world, everybody knows, Icha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena. Every living entity descends in this world. And once you descend in this world, comes other unwanted things that we kind of acquire just by worldly association. And then it's really hard to get rid of them. Like, you know, this systemic racism. If you identify with the body and I and mine, then it's really hard. How do you get beyond something that's systemic? You need knowledge, and you need to awaken that true knowledge of who we are. So this is Chaita Dharpana Marjanam. And bhava is very different than the word bhava. Bhava is material existence. Bhava is something else. Maha Dava Agni. We all know the word Agni means fire. And Dava Agni is a forest fire. And Maha Dava Agni is a blazing forest fire. And this blazing forest fire of material existence, Nirvapanam, becomes extinguished. Traditionally, I've heard Prabhupada lecture on this so many times, and he would explain, how do you extinguish a forest fire? The firefighters can't extinguish a forest fire. They try. You know, it's a modest fire, but Mahadavagni, they can't. There's one thing that works besides it just burns itself out. One thing that works is a downpour rain, and it puts out the forest fire. So the chanting of the holy name is that downpour of rain that extinguishes Nirvapanam, the blazing forest fire of material existence. Extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. One thing follows the other. So how the unfolding of the glories or the excellences, the effect of chanting, it's not first this is complete and then you move to the next bucket and then that's complete, you move to the next bucket. It's not compartmentalized like that. It happens like the rising of the sun. It's gradual, and different things happen in gradual sequence. There's a natural sequence. Cleansing of the heart comes first. And anyone that begins chanting carefully experiences cleansing. And how much dust has accumulated in the heart for how many lifetimes? Bhujan is fond of saying 3 miles. How long does it take to remove that 3 mile thick layer of dust? It may take a while. Begin. don't become discouraged because it's 3 miles thick. You begin the cleansing agent. And as that dust becomes cleansed, the dust and sand and straws become cleansed, the gloss summary is, as it purifies the heart, Krishna's name also protects sincere chanters from any further contamination from the worldly energy and those affected by it. So we live in the world and we associate with people that are affected by contamination. And, you know, our program is not to go live in a cave or something. You live a cloistered life that may be suitable for some persons in some circumstances, and that's fine. But in general, stanes tatakshruti katam tanavan manobir, that's what we do. We stay in our position and cultivate Krishna bhakti. So as we're cultivating Krishna bhakti, what about the worldly contamination that we're surrounded by? It's a sad situation, Kali Yuga. And you know, it rises and falls. It seems to get a little better, and then it gets much worse, and then stays there. And so it's an unpleasant ride in the contaminating atmosphere. But the name can protect one from further contamination. That's the little gloss that's here. References being made at the bottom here to a text from Bhagavad Gita where lust is compared to fire. Lust is the product of contact with the mode of passion, and it burns like fire. This contact with the mode of passion and its consequent lust, kama rupena, is the eternal enemy. And the eternal enemy, dushparena, is never satisfied. And analena, like agni, analena, it burns like fire. And that's the world in which we live. The picture of the structure of the universe is, there's different ways of describing it, but upper planets, mode of goodness is prevalent. Lower planets, mode of ignorance is prevalent. And in this middle region, guess which mode is prevalent? Passion, fruitive activities. That's the name of the game. So when people think of Dharma, commonly, even the Vedas indicated, the purpose of Dharma is artha. And artha is understood to be economic development. Just ask our president. That's the name of the game, economic development. And then, so why? So you can enjoy kama. But this kama rupena, the eternal enemy of the living entity, it's all around us. It's ubiquitous. And here we are trying to be nice devotees. In our evening class, discussing about Drona and Dara, they're expansions of Nanda and Yashoda. And they have a natural affection and affinity for Krishna as their son. But their expansion, Drona and Dara, being situated in the heavenly realm, due to association, the sweetness of Krishna as her son kind of got eclipsed or overshadowed by his Aishwarya. So they didn't become atheistic, but that intimate loving mood moved to the Aishwarya loving mood. They're still siddha, perfect. So what to speak of us? We're not siddhas. And through association, you're trying to be a nice devotee, and there's, you know, the factor that we're in an atmosphere that's not ideal. Or Prabhupada's word is surcharged with opposition. Not easy. So how do we move forward? Well, take shelter of the holy name, and as the purification of one's own heart proceeds, then the contamination around us affects us less. We're protected by the holy name, that shelter. One other point that I particularly like from Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita purport, in chapter 6, he speaks this Bhava Mahadavagni phrase in relation to the Ashtanga Yoga system. In one of the home visits we had, there was a 12-year-old girl who was asking about the meaning of meditation. A very innocent, very pure-hearted young person. What does it mean? And the second question after the first question was answered is, do I really have to go to a secluded place to do meditation? Like, I don't know if I can do that. But that's a particular form in the proper application of the Ashtanga Yoga system. But we don't, that's not required of us. What's required of us is taking shelter of the holy name. So Prabhupada, it's chapter 6, text something like 29 through 32 or something in that range. Krishna is giving a definition of samadhi. That's the mature stage of the Ashtanga Yoga system. Number 8 of the 8 steps of the Eightfold Yoga system. And Krishna clearly explains samadhi. And then in the purport, Prabhupada explains what this samadhi that comes from the Ashtanga Yoga system is achieved right here, Bhava Mahadavagni. The blazing fire of material existence. And he explains that Buddhism has this idea that the root cause of suffering is desire. So all you have to do is get a dagger and stab desire to death. And when you have no more desire left, then you reach the stage of nirvana. No more suffering. So that's the state, Prabhupada explained. This is the second excellence out of 7 from Shikshastaka. And what comes after that? Well, we're going to hear what comes after that shortly. But Bhava Mahadavagni is equivalent to Buddhist nirvana. Now, in the mature stage, because as it's saying here, it extinguishes. So forest fires may not get extinguished 100% like Zippo. But when the forest fire becomes extinguished, which is achievable through proper chanting, that's the stage of neutrality, or no more material suffering and no more contamination, even you're in the world with contamination. That's this chanting of the holy name. And then what comes after that? What Prabhupada writes in the purport is Muktir Hidvanyata Rupam Svarupena Vyavastati. The mukti stage described in the bhakti process, this is Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text number 6, where mukti of the different topics taught in the Bhagavatam, mukti is defined by Shukadeva Goswami this way. Muktir hitvanyata rupam svarupena vyavastati. Just yesterday, a student wrote a letter asking, what's this spiritual form and spiritual senses all about? I just referred him to that verse and some other things. It means, svarupa means, what's your spiritual form? This isn't our spiritual form. And we do duties according to our psychophysical nature because we have a covering and we recognize it. We don't act other than artificially, other than or imitate something. We have our nature. We're going to act according to our nature. It's like Krishna argues with Arjuna. You don't have the adhikar to just do karma sannyas. You perform prescribed duty. And always think of me. So that's our program. Perform our prescribed duty and always think, at least try to always think of Krishna. And when you achieve that, then emerging from the heap of material existence is the swarup. At least initially, some idea of I am meant, my existence is meant for pleasing Krishna, being Krishna's servant. That's bhakti awakens, and that's the mood. Krishna should be pleased. And as that mood matures, the influence of the covering subsides, and then this real mukti emerges, svarupena, vyavastati. It becomes what our spiritual identity is, our spiritual form. And as our acharyas describe, what that means is, as it matures, your spiritual form, you start to understand, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in some of his writings, he understood his name in his spiritual form, his service in his spiritual form. While he's, chanting the holy name, engaging in devotional service, he understood his spiritual form and his spiritual name and his spiritual qualities and his spiritual activities, his service to Radha Krishna, even within the present body. And that's beyond nirvana. And this is nirvana. Read the purport, it's nice. So we're not like going na 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 na. Our teaching's better than your teaching. At the same time, we should understand what the teaching is. And there's far more than cessation of material existence. That's a definition of nirvana. Another way of saying bhava mahada avagni nirvapanam is nirvana, cessation of material existence. But you don't go out of existence. You have spiritual existence. And all of that is furthered just by the bhakti process, which begins with chanting. Okay, so it's 8:20. And what I'm thinking I should do is stop. And then this evening, we won't do all the preamble things that we did this morning. And we'll finish the other seven. But it's good to focus on the first two because That's a big climb to make the heart clean and material existence becomes extinguished. And so we can move about in the world, not contaminated by passion and its corollary activities. So any from those who are assembled here, any comments or questions? Yeah. Can you speak a little louder so that the online people can hear? Thanks.
Which verse from the sixth chapter you mentioned about the Devanam?
I mentioned what?
Which verse is that?
Which?
Sixth chapter? About Devanam, that you said Prabhupada.
Okay. It's definition of samadhi, and my memory says it's verses 29 through 32. It's something in that range. But if you look for the verse that's samadhi is, you'll find that reference. Anyone else in the room? And then we'll go to online. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. So artificial daman means controlling and bottling all those desires. Can it explode?
Can it explode?
Can those desires explode at some point and then ruin all the sadhana?
Material
because, you're talking about this samadhi and the nirvana. They are controlling the senses and they're saying, putting it.
Do you understand his question?
So, Prabhu is referring to, Buddhism philosophy that in that,
can they explode? That's your question?
They because you are artificially controlling the senses.
Well, they'll probably just, wiggle in the direction of sense gratification. That's what will happen. They won't explode.
Okay.
Yes.
Another question about, earlier you mentioned about Ravindra Swarup Prabhu's practice on
He's going to be writing a book on it, and he's an excellent writer who is really slow. But he shared with me quite a while ago what he's doing. I'll just quickly. This is what he was. This was like a year and a half or more, but because he's a PhD, he has the proficiency and inclination for academic detail. So he's learned enough Sanskrit that he's getting absorbed in the Shikshastaka verses, not just reciting them like we just did, Cheto, Darpana. So he's getting absorbed in the meanings of the words and then picking up his bead bag and chanting with that in his heart. It's a GPS taking him to the destination. And he's finding that it's, he's trying to follow Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description, because it's a description of how to get to Vrajaprem through chanting, following Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastaka. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
And when his book comes out, it's going to rock the Hare Krishna movement, because he's really, really good writer. Yes.
What are the verses are 20 through 23? I just looked up chapter 6. 20 through 23.
Okay, there we go. 6. Okay, thank you.
And I had a comment or a question.
Yeah.
So if someone is extremely hungry or poor and hungry all the time, then their main concern is how do I get rid of the hunger? Just give me food, and everything beyond that is it will come after that.
Yeah.
So in that sense, we all of these steps, but the first step would be to maybe just get rid of this forest fire of material existence. I'm wondering if you are not at that stage yet, then is there much application of what comes after you?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks. That's a nice question. Yes. And it's not exactly application, but it's an experience. And we'll hear this evening, but vidya bandho jivanam, knowledge awakens. And that happens, beginning stage. It's not like you have to wait till the Baba Mahadevagni thing, the curtain closes, and now you're ready for the next stage. It happens. Knowledge awakens. naturally, which is what the Bhagavatam also says. Rasadevi, Bhagavati, etc. Knowledge awakens, detachment awakens. It happens even beginning, but it becomes more pronounced. When coverings are removed, knowledge becomes more pronounced. Okay, we're ready for online questions.
The first question is from Marini Mataji. She's asking, how do we know if our chanting is purifying our heart? What are the symptoms of change of heart that we are able to perceive?
I recommend that for detail, read chapter 3 of Canto 2, Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart. And there's details. But symptoms, Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it very simply. Two, the fascination for trying to become an enjoyer of objects of the senses diminishes. Asatrishna, the thirst for the impermanent, diminishes. And the other side is attraction for topics of Krishna strengthens. Those are two very simple symptoms.
The next question is from Megha Maheshwari. She's asking, there are so many forms of Krishna. While chanting, how can you focus on one form? Or rather, what one should concentrate to not have the mind wander?
Cross your fingers. what's recommended is concentrate on the name, because within the name is form, or name has form. And if one tries to think of something, the mind's going to go to the next something. So stay with the name, and when absorption in the name is there, then the form of the name becomes revealed through sound. Now, the distracted mind is the main hurdle for the sadhakas, because the mind is attracted to this notion of enjoying sense objects. So the mind wants to go to sense objects. And sense objects are considered by the material senses as material sense objects. And the name is not a material sense object. So the mind doesn't want to go there. It wants to go to material sense objects. So, there are many, many, many. There was three times many, many, many techniques. And each one of us, as practicing devotees, we find some technique or techniques that suit us, that we resonate with and help us. There's a support that helps us stay away from distraction and stay towards the absorption. So when we have japa retreats, I suggest this person can hear the so many hours of recordings of japa retreats and find a technique or two or 10 that work for them, and then stay with it. But the main force behind any technique is not the technique, it's a tool. That its utility of the tool is, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the effort that we make and the dependence upon mercy to reciprocate with the effort that we make. It's the effort you make, your prayasa, your endeavor to bring the mind to the name. Here's quoting Rabindra Sarup Prabhu again. When you're chanting, it's only three things. There's you, there's the name and there's the mind. And the art of chanting is have the mind go to the name. And the mind doesn't want to. The mind wants enjoyment through sense objects. So it's a practice, abhyasa, by methods that are approved by acharyas that we strive towards. That's one of the reasons for having japa retreats is through association, sadhu sangha. That's a big support. It helps support our efforts or other things that people do to strengthen their chanting focus is other forms of sadhana besides japa retreats. But it's one of the reasons, as far as I understand it, there are probably many, but one of the reasons that Shamsundar likes and has given strong emphasis to at least once a week come together and chant japa together. Because it strengthens the mind's tendency to go to the name. The spiritual potency is there because of Sangha. Next.
Next question is from Uttama Bhakta Prabhu. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. 16 rounds are a must because it's Srila Prabhupada's instruction. Does our own appreciation start at the 17th round?
Why? Your appreciation can start even before you start. Next.
Next question is, it's a comment actually. They're asking you, this is Raghunandan Das. He's asking, may I share the Shikshashtakam seminar recording of his Grace Ravindra Swarup Prabhu? Is it okay?
Can he do what?
He wants to share the seminar, the recordings of Ravindra Prabhu.
Of Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. Well, I don't know that he has any recordings, does he?
You share one link. I will share that with
you. Okay, sure. He can share with others. Ravindra's luminary.
Okay. I don't see any more questions.
Okay, great. And when you read questions, skip the Hare Krishna Maharaj, wonderful class, and all that stuff. Just, if they say it, just skip it. Thanks. And people that send questions in, skip it, please. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki jai.